Thanks for downloading this podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be rebroadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching iTunes for Radio Le Mans or visiting RadioLeMans.com.
The hourly update on Radio Le Mans with Audi TDI. Vorsprung durch Technik.
Just gone 11:30 on Sunday morning, less than 3.5 hours of the race remaining. Still Porsche leads, Earl Bamber at the wheel of the number 19 919 hybrid. 335 laps now in the book for that car, and it still has a lap lead over the second placed Porsche, the number 17 car, Timo Bernhard, having just been in for a refueling stop and rejoined again without any problems. In the third place though, and benefiting from problems for the number 9 Audi, we now have a new third place car, because Andre Lotterer at the wheel of the number 7 has come through in third place. He is a further lap behind Timo Bernhard, but Marco Bonanomi brought the number 9 Audi into the pits just as we were going into this segment of the race, and was pushed back into the garage, and one can only assume that they're trying to get to the bottom of the problems with that hybrid on that car, which we have heard was causing it problems anyway. And they say they can do the sums just as well as I could, and said that look, they were going to lose out to the number 7 car anyway, so they pushed that car back into the garage. It's still there at the moment and losing places all the time. So up into fourth place has now come the number 8 Audi, a further minute and a quarter behind the number 7 car. In sixth place still at the moment is the number 18 Porsche, but it's only going to be a matter of time before that moves up, except that the number 9 Audi is on the way again, so that should be its position. So number 9 in fifth place, number 18 in sixth place, then the two Toyotas, as they have been throughout, kind of playing the best of the rest role, with number 2 Toyota ahead of the number 1 car, Stefan Sarrazin at the wheel of the number 2, and Kaz Nakajima at the wheel of number 1. And they are respectively 7 and 9 laps behind the race leader. Down to the LMP2s, well, not really, because that's in 9th place overall, the leading LMP2 car. Number 47, still KCMG with their new Orica, the Orica 05 with the Nissan engine, leading LMP2. In 2nd place in LMP2 is the G-Drive Ligier, also with a Nissan engine, and Sam Bird doing the driving at the moment. He's exactly a minute behind the P2 leader, just a minute separates 47 from 26. And still in LMP2, third place is car number 38, the Jota Sport Ligier, with Mitch Evans at the wheel. But he is only 15 seconds behind Sam Bird, so very close for second place still in P2. In GTE Pro, Jimmy Bruni with the AF Corsa Ferrari leads the way, 286 laps completed, 26 seconds now ahead of the Corvette in second place, with Jordan Taylor now behind the wheel. Third in GT Pro is James Collado at the wheel of the other AF Corsa Ferrari, and he is on 283 laps completed. The GTE AM leader is the number 98 Aston Martin Vantage, still on 283 laps. Pedro Lamy leading the way there. In second place in GTE AM is the 72 SMP Ferrari 458, Andrea Bertolini at the wheel of that one. He's on 281 laps, and also on 281 laps, 2 minutes and 40 seconds behind is the number 62 Scuderia Corsa Ferrari, which is being driven by Townsend Bell at the moment, and that car has completed 281 laps. So the GTE AM positions first number 98, second number 72, and third number 62.
The hourly updates on Radio Le Mans, brought to you by Audi Ultra, lightweight technology.
Very quickly down to our Nismo pit lane team. Nick Damon has found Olivier Beretta.
Olivier, now a real fight between you and the Porsche for the final place on the podium. But you came in there for your stop and there was a problem on the rear right. What had happened?
No, we just had a little issue, and we just wanted to be safe. and they control it, and now the car is fine.
You're out for the last half hour or so when we've been told there's rain. Was it wet at all out on the track?
Well, I just tried to stay in the track, focus and making no mistake, and it was okay.
The car seems to be going well now after its problems. Do you think you can stay ahead of the Porsche?
We'll see. The race is still long. We'll see.
Thank you, Olivier. Thank you.
So, Beretta in relatively good spirits, all things considered. Very squirrely moment for Marco Bonanomi in the number 9 Audi at the second chicane. Had to shortcut it through the tyre bales and nearly lost it on the exit as well to rejoin the track just then, Marco.
Yeah, a pair of problems for the 9. Came into the pits, was wheeled into their garage, took the nose off. And keep in mind that with how the radiators are ducted in that car, a lot of that comes in not just from the front, obviously, but down below through the keel beneath the driver's feet. And you saw the mechanics reaching in as if they were trying to pull something out. So I wonder if there was something clogging or blocking either into radiators or possibly affecting the floor and clean airflow there. But a lot of reaching in, basically shoulder deep. Got that cleared, got the nose back on, car went out, and on his outlap, Marco went for a bit of a wild ride entering the second chicane, had a straight line that, and then also had a little bit of oversteer on the way out, so he's pushing hard.
Yeah, they were doing their best James Herriot impression there, to give birth to a calf maybe, with the arms trying to pull out whatever it might be, a little bit of track debris or maybe grass that's worked its way onto the track. The BR01 car sideways exiting Mulsanne corner there with the Aston behind. The one with the green strip is a GTE car, I seem to remember. Confirmation
that
of that. It will be the number 98, I reckon, of Pedro Lamy, which is making its way down towards Indianapolis, leading the class, the GTE AM car, and the Portuguese back on board. Jimmy Bruni in the 51 Ferrari, though, leads GTE Pro from Jordan Taylor in the number 64 Chevy Corvette.
Handy 24 seconds right now by Bruni, leading the Corvette, also moving up to P2. Nicolas Lapierre continuing to lead in that juggernaut 47 KCMG brand new Oreca 05, holding a full lap over Sam Bird in the 26 G-Drive Ligier. And up front, something we continue to love, 319.5 last lap for leader Earl Bamber. Timo Bernhard in second place, 321.1. Andre Lotterer in third place, best of the Audis, 319.3. So 0.2 off the leader, but granted, he has two more tours to go before that really comes into play.
Automatically, I can tell that Andrea Bertolini's on board the SMP Racing Ferrari. Nothing against his co-drivers, but just the body language of that 458. You know Bertolini is inside that car and probably to the finish now with 3 hours and 19 minutes to go. He is powering through those Porsche curves and into the Ford chicane.
If you listen, you can hear the tires crying. They're just begging, please stop. Let us live. But yeah, trust me, Andrea has been doing this for a long time. He knows nothing less than 100%, so one of many GT pros in the field.
Andre Lotterer is continuing to give it all his very best shot. Say, with the number 7 car, having only done 5 lap, oh no, that's why it was a short stint, wasn't it, because of the drive-through penalty that he had to take, where no work was allowed to be done on the car, and that's probably helped fire him off a little bit. So he's now on his second stint of this particular tour. He'll been doing another 4 laps in fact, and 3 laps at the end of this one, and still lapping consistently under or around the 3:20 mark, sometimes a little bit under, sometimes a little bit over, but lapping consistently. He's now relatively safe in third, and I suppose the question is he going to be able to lap quickly enough to catch up with Timo Bernhard at the wheel of the red and white Porsche number 17? And the answer to the question is, I don't think he is, although he's giving it his best shot. Part of the reason is because the Porsche generally has these saves 5 seconds every pit stop. So even if Andre Lotterer is able to pick up, say, a second a lap, then he loses half of that advantage every time he comes into the pits, because the Porsche's pit stops are 5 seconds quicker.
So at the head of the order, Earl Bamber leading the way, 338 laps now completed in the 19 car. Timo Bernhardt in car 17, 337. He goes through now, in fact, to complete that lap. And a stop-go penalty has been issued to car 28, which is the fifth-placed P2 car. Gustavo Yackermann currently at the wheel. A 45-second stop-go penalty for speeding in the pit lane. So that's going to further spice things up towards the lower end of the P2 runners. It's a class that's led, by the way, by Nicolas Lapierre in the 47 car. Twas ever thus, really. The KTMG Orica has been so dominant from the off in their Orica 05. Sam Bird driving the number 26 car, so the sister machine to the one that's got the penalty. Sam Bird looking good for a podium, as is Jota Sport, and they're new for 2015, the Gibson, which was formerly the Zytec, the 38 Jota Sport car, on for a podium with Mitch Evans at the wheel.
Right, problems in the pits for the Manti Porsche. Dreadful difficult trying to get the right rear wheel off the car, and that seems to be snagging against the right rear bodywork as they're pulling it off. I don't think it's a hub problem. You can possibly see this screen closer than I can, Marshall. It seems to be more a bodywork problem than
the wheel is hitting the top of the wheel arch itself. They've undone portion of the latching system, but you now have everybody with pry bars essentially trying to peel up the right rear fender.
We have a man
so they can extract the tire.
We have a man on the spot. That's Joe Bradley, part of our Nismo pit lane team.
Jump in, Joe. Get in there and help him.
I'm feeling like I should, actually. If I can get if I can crawl underneath and push from the inside, then we may be able to do this. But you're right, it is bodywork. The wheel is actually moving on the hub, from what I can see. I'm positioned right at the rear of the car, and there goes the bodywork, and also a smack in the head for one of the mechanics who was in the way of the lever as it gave way against the wheel arch. And he did not get a hit in the head there. They're going to have to pry away. Now they're cutting away the wheel arch on this right rear. That's not me, that's the tool they're using.
No, I can hear it. It's like a circular saw moving to slice away part of the wheel arch there to enable to get the wheel off the car. It's the rear right which is so troublesome. Meanwhile, the number 30 ESM Ligier has had a moment up at Tête Rouge, which is a turning point, really.
That would have been a fairly high-speed exit there for the number 30. Back on track, moving a wee bit slowly, so I'm not sure if there's a tire issue or something that force the car off. Here we go with a replay.
Ooh, yes. And into the tyre wall. Side-to-side contact, though, so hopefully that won't have given to cause too much sort of structural damage, because the car's very strong along the side portion there. Yeah. Just a glancing
Sharp
blow.
The Scott Sharp, the driver of that Extreme Speed Motorsports car.
We've also seen on the class-leading P247 KCMG Oreca, left front portion of the nose, the fender portion itself appears to be riding a wee bit high. Curious if that's going to require a premature stop, or if that's something that will stay in place and allow them to tend to that their next routine stop.
Yeah, there is a little crack emerging between where the nose slots onto the front of the car, I notice. Well, you picked it out. And is that working itself loose, or will the clips keep it in a safe position? We'll monitor that as well with Nicolas Lapierre. And all of a sudden, well, we wonder whether we were around the corner from an absolute best time. We didn't get magic hour overnight, but we do. And surprise, surprise,
wow,
it's André Lotterer sticking in a fastest lap of the race so far at quarter to midday. This is quite possibly the latest time
Brilliant.
We've had a fastest lap, but it's a 317.475 race pace from the third placed Audi number 7.
Can we officially put to rest the question of, are they pushing, are they saving the cars today? Endurance racing is sprint racing. Pick the amount of hours. This is sprint racing. We have to endure the sprint, but good Lord, there's no saving going on here.
No,
that's brilliant.
That is the second fastest lap time of the whole weekend. The only lap time that has been faster than that the whole weekend was the pole position time, which Neil Yarny did. It's faster than every other lap.
This is classic, guys.
And we did say during qualifying, didn't we, I can't remember who it was who asked me the question, but somebody said, was that going to be the fastest lap we would see throughout the whole weekend? And I said, no, I said, we'll get a faster lap in the race. We haven't quite got there yet, but Andre Lotterman was going to save my bacon. Oops, I didn't mean to say bacon.
Oh, I've been saving a feature for next week that I'll run about the 1,000 horsepower cars at Le Mans. And the cool thing is part of that's a retro story, and those who've been here have seen some of those cars, but the Nissan was supposed to be there, but of the three leading manufacturers in P1, they're all well over 1,000 horsepower. They won't necessarily claim that, Johnny. You look at some of their official press clippings and such, and you know, some are a little cagey about those numbers, but they are racing and competing when the hybrid is deploying full power off the corners at over 1,000 horsepower. That's insane. Again, not a qualifying special. This isn't three laps, blow up, put in a new motor. We're talking internal combustion engine, hybrid power combined, doing that for 24 hours straight. We've never seen anything like it.
You'll have to, Paul Truswell, when you get a moment, give me an average speed as well for that lap time, because I'll be fascinated to know what the average speed around this track is for a 3:17.475. Down to Nick Damon in the Nismo pit lane, though, for an update on the number 8 Audi. That's not the quickest car at the moment, but the one in fourth position, it's in the pit lane, it's in the garage, Nick.
Yeah, the number 8 car came in, it got a full set of fuel, but then it was eased onto the dolly. I think it's on the Jarvis who got out, but in definitely got Lucas Degrassi. There was some bodywork, sort of not so much damage, but bodywork not quite attached properly behind the rear, of the rear left wheel. They are putting on a new, it looks like they're just putting on a new engine cover. There's so many mechanics there, they've got about 134 mechanics. Not trying to hide us from view, because they're all trying to do something, and they are just working on that rear left. This appears to be a bit of damage. They're taping up the bits that aren't covered by the body, which is actually where in the older cars the particulate filter was, but I'm not actually sure they still run particulate filters. They're so advanced now they don't need to, but there is a lot of work out the rear left. It's just about finished now, and they're pushing us all the way to get us. All right, hang on. Cool. He's a bit handsy, that one. Pushing us out the way, and the car will be coming out in a few seconds after having a mostly duct tape repair, but also a new rear deck.
And finally, Joe Bradley, some progress with the number 91 Porsche.
Yeah, I think the Porsche team Manti's future in quick service tyre stops for the public are over, because they remodel the rear of your car as well as they're doing it. They've literally had to cut the wheel arch away, and I'm not talking about the external wheel arch, that was the inner wheel arch. I've never seen anything like that ever on any kind of Porsche race car, a road going that is production standard Porsche going race car. Quite unprecedented in my world. They basically cut away the carbon fiber wheel arch, and then the wheel came off, and then the job then was to remodel it with tank tape. So tank tape up and down the pit lane, it seems. It
makes me wonder if there's a stub axle issue, Johnny, because obviously when you remove the wheel nut, you go to pull the wheel and tire off, that should come straight with you. Mm-hmm. But if the actual piece that the wheel slides over, the threaded bit that the nut goes onto, if that's loose at all or is basically not attached, you essentially aren't able to decouple both. So curious, because having that problem the way they had it, I'm not sure if I've seen that exact problem play out like that before.
And more news on the number 8, Nick Damon.
Yeah, the number 8 went out, which is, you know, it was a short repair, it was a necessary repair. The interesting thing was, whilst they changed drivers, they didn't change tyres.
It had only done two stints on that set of tyres, Nick, and something that we were considering before was that it's actually quicker to change the drivers than it is to change the tyres, because you can do the drivers whilst the fuel is going in. There's life in the tyres, I'm not quite sure why Loic Duval would have got out, but certainly Lucas Degrassi, as you say, has now got in. Loic has only done the two stints, so Loic not quite feeling up to doing a further stint, or Lucas Degrassi getting in for the final push through to the checkered flag, because he can now take the car to the checkered flag. They'll have to put another set of tyres on it at some stage, but they'll be perhaps hoping for a better opportunity to do that, perhaps when there's a slow zone around the circuit somewhere.
Just gone 10 to midday in the 83rd running of the 24 Hours of Le Mans. You're listening to Mobile One Radio Le Mans here at the track on 91.2 FM and around the world on RadioLeMans.com. Of course, we're in Studio Vision as well this year, powered by Duke Video. That's all embedded on the homepage. You can see me and Marshall thoroughly enjoying
our apologies
this
for that view
encounter. No. Hey, we're being broadcast live into people's living rooms here that can't be at the circuit. It's something to be proud of.
It's 2:52 at home in the morning at home in California right now, Johnny. When I land home tomorrow, I'll be falling asleep mid-afternoon.
The GT Pro field headed by Gianmaria Bruni in the number 51 AF Corsa Ferrari 458 Italia, leading by nearly 21 seconds. Jordan Taylor in the Chevrolet Corvette C7R is in second position, number 64. Third place in GT Pro is the other Ferrari from AF Corsa, James Collado, the Brit at the wheel there. Fourth position, the number 95 Aston of Marco Sorensen, that's the Dane train. And then next up, it's the 99 car, Richie Stanaway, the Kiwi, back on board the yellow and red Hanergy-backed Aston Martin Vantage. If you're a fan of GTAM, it's Pedro Lamy in the lead, by the way, at the wheel of the number 98 Aston Martin, on the first page of our timing and scoring, which puts him in 21st in the overall standings, leading by quite a distance, although Andrea Bertolini absolutely driving the wheels off his SMP Racing Ferrari, all crossed up a couple of laps ago, heading into the Dunlop chicane. Number 72 then is in second position. Third place is the number 77 Patrick Long-driven Porsche from Proton Competition. Richie Stanaway actually turning up the wick there in the number 99 Aston Martin, doing the car's best lap of the race, a 3:54.2. Townsend Bell is fourth in GTAM. That's the number 62 Scuderia Corsa Ferrari, the debutants, debuts for the drivers and also for the team as well. Mark Miller on board the SRT Viper. Car 53 is fifth in class, and Manu Collard in the number 83 AF Corsa Ferrari is sixth.
And the 62 being investigated possibly for speeding on pit lane as well.
And Andre Lotterer, no more chance of him doing any quicker laps, at least not on this stint, because I suspect he's going to have run out of fuel. Well, he's not, because he's going to come into the pits at the end of this lap. The average speed, incidentally, Johnny, you were asking about that for that fastest lap of the race that he put in, 248.5 kilometres per hour, 248.5 in miles an hour. That's about 154 miles an hour. That's an average speed.
It's ridiculous.
Around the 13.629 kilometres per hour.
Wow-wee. Okay. Yeah, I just need to take a breather to even comprehend that. I know it's 85% throttle around here, but even so, there are some very slow bits as well.
It's one of those were you there when it happened moments.
You see, Andre Lotterer isn't going to take a breath back, and he's just going to go into the pits, get some more fuel, and go out and do it all over again. Fastest lap ever in a race around the Le Mans circuit in this configuration or in any other. That speed of 248 kilometers per hour is the fastest race lap ever around the Le Mans circuit.
I'm reminded that the Jota's board is a Gibson Nissan. I did know that, so probably a slip of the tongue. It's a Gibson 015S Nissan, new chassis, by the way, for the Jota Sport team, and it's the same car that Greaves Motorsport are running this year. Sadly, Greaves haven't made the distance this year in their number 41 car, but Jota Sport on for a podium with Mitch Evans at the wheel, Ollie Turvey and Simon Dolan, the co-drivers. Down to our Nismo pit lane team and Joe Bradley for a quick update.
Yeah, just something I've noticed of, again, unprecedented. The Ferrari 62, that's the Scuderia Corsa car that's currently in fourth place. Townsend Bell at the wheel came in for a pit stop, fuel only. But then when they got to the point where they needed to start the car, one of the mechanics got this huge cattle prod thing, which is like a 2 meter long rod, and from the rear of the car, poked it up the car's rear end and started the car kind of remotely away from the driver. And that's exactly what he did. I asked the question, what were you doing with that stick? And he said, I started the car from the rear.
Fair enough.
And right next door is the race leader, number 19 Porsche in. That's the white one, of course.
Earl Bamber at the wheel.
Earl Bamber stays at the wheel of that, and fuel only for that car.
Thank you, Joe. Is that something you've encountered before, Marshall Brick?
No, careful with the prodding the prancing horse. Yeah, you might get kicked. So I guess good on them for getting through that safely.
And let's go down to the other end of our Nismo pit lane to speak to Nick Damon, who's just watched the stop for the number 7.
Yes, and they fooled me. I thought they were going to do a full service. They had Benoit Tollier
all ready to go, but they just stuck some fuel in. Now, Hunter Hall's in front of his number nine machine. Now, I think this kind of problem, it's got a wire trailing from the rear legality panel. They're fueling it and cleaning the windscreen, but I think this is going to go... I win a prize. It has gone up on Jack's. Now, this car is also... The number nine car is now visiting the garage as well, being pushed back. I'm not sure whether they're just kind of cleaning up bits that are falling off slowly as the leader in GT Pro, the 64 Corvette, stops for a fuel only stop to my right. So something had a little bit of flurry activity. The number nine, though, the nose has come off it. That's not the front nose. That's just the nose has come off it. And both doors are open. I'm not sure whether they're going to do a driver change. Felipe Albuquerque not ready at the moment.
This is the second time they've done this with this car, isn't it? Because
same exact thing.
Came in after a 7-lap stint, and it's now in after a 6-lap stint.
So that's the number 9 Audi wheeled into the garage for the second time within a span of minutes. The number 8 has been in as well. So we're seeing a couple of the lead cars for P1 blink, per se, from one manufacturer. The Porsches, at least so far, continuing to motor on uninterrupted.
Just a couple more minutes for me before it's a shift change here in the Mobile One Broadcast Centre overlooking the Ford chicane, but nose to tail in LMGTM, by the way, and that's Pat Long having a right old scrap with Townsend Bell.
These are two good American friends, Pat Long in the 77 Dempsey Proton Porsche, Townsend Bell in the Scuderia Corsa Ferrari. They love beating up on each other. These two have been friends and rivals for a while now. And yeah, this is something where they are going as hard as possible, but you know they're smiling as well. Would not be surprised if Townsend did his Paul Tracy impression, fed a little bit of chrome horn to his pal, Pat Long. This is going to be good.
LMGT Pro leader, by the way, in and change of driver. Tony Verlander stepping on board the number 51 Ferrari. It also got fuel and tyres and has kept the race lead, but it's slim margins ahead of Jordan Taylor. They are on very slightly different cycles. When the Ferrari gets new tyres, the Corvette double stints and vice versa. So you get this yin and yang effect. There's about 6 seconds between Verlander and Jordan Taylor now. Third position is James Calado in GT Pro and GT Am, led by Pedro Lamy, but by far the closest fight on track within GT Am is Pat Long versus Townsend Bell. At the end of the lap now, the light blue and black Porsche ahead of the all-red Scuderia Corsa Ferrari 458, as still work continues on the number 9 Audi. Marco Bonanomi, is he still in the car? Has he got out? I think he's now out of the car as Audi set to work with...
Yeah, that looked like some fairly major effort going on. Some large hand tools being applied to the number 9. Not sure how soon they're going to see that car out. Definitely for the cars behind them, the Toyotas in particular, this is what they want and what they need. Just looking at the picture from a championship standpoint, further they can move up, the better for them points-wise.
So new front left corner to go on, reports Nick Damon. It is midday though here on Mobile One Radio Le Mans 91.2 FM. So time for me to hand over. Absolute pleasure once again to work with Marshall Pruitt and Paul Truswell here at this year's 24 Hours of Le Mans. It'll be John Hindoff to take you to the finish, and I'll be back for a bit of post-race tech when this thing finally comes to an end. Bye for now.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production.
Tell your friends there's more at RadioLeMans.com.
Silverstone,
Spa,
Fuji,
Austin,
the Nürburgring,
Shanghai,
Bahrain,
and the Le Mans 24 Hours. 66 hours of racing,
4 classes,
and over 100 drivers.
Listen to the whole of the 2015 FIA World Endurance Championship exclusively live on RadioLeMans.com.
RadioLeMans.com, motorsport's original internet broadcaster. Our world-class live coverage has been setting the standard for over a decade, and now it's even easier to listen. Just go to RadioLeMans.com. You don't need an app or a download. It's motorsport 24 hours a day, every day. And remember, we have a huge archive of motorsport audio
ready when you want to listen.
Live, on demand, on download. 3 ways to listen.
1 place to go.
RadioLeMans.com.
Around the world,
around the clock,
endurance racing direct to you.
RadioLeMans.com.
Get closer to motorsport with Mobile One.
Mobile One.
Paul, I'm back. Let's turn that on.
So could we go a bit longer?
Yes. Yes. Actually, I'm. Don't worry, folks. John will be with you in about 90 minutes. He asked me to fill in while he takes care of some things. So a little bonus coverage for me, which I'm really excited about, because we are really into the meat of this race, aren't we?
I don't know about the meat of it. It's more the dessert. It's the it's the cognac at the end of the dessert. It's the final topping. Because to be quite frank, I couldn't kind of. It's that kind of end phase when we're on the verge of getting history made here, but then there's the small matter of 180 minutes still to go, and there's an awful lot that could happen in that time, not just for the lead battle for the overall lead, but also in the battle for the classes, in particularly in GT, where we've got 5 seconds, a little bit over 5 seconds, separating Tony Vallander in the number 51 Ferrari Jim from the number 64 Corvette Jordan Taylor, pressing on as hard as he can, trying to close down that Ferrari in kind of a 51 that currently leads GTE Pro. That's the smallest gap that we've got. The battle for the overall lead, to be quite honest, is it's not that the two cars are on the same lap, the two Porsches, but they are separated by something over 2.5 minutes, and the next pit stopper amongst first and second is going to be the second placed Porsche, car currently in the hands of Timo Bernhardt, number 17, the red one, and that will be coming in about 3 laps time, whilst the Audi Challenge, first of all, we had the penalties for the number 7 car and the bodywork for the number 7 car, and now the problems with the hybrid that affected the number 9, and further work going on in the pit lane now for number 8. So we talked about reliability. It's Porsche that's showing good reliability so far.
They really are. They really are. Let's check in with our Nismo pit lane team. Nick Damon is with the number 8 car.
Yeah, the number 8 car, as I said, when it came in a while ago, it didn't take tyres. It went out, something I suspected, and now has been confirmed, it's come back 3 laps later, is it went out on the slick intermediates. Last year, Michelin weren't marking them the same way, so we couldn't tell, but this year they are marked slightly differently. They have an extra white patch on them, so he went out on the slick intermediates, come back and put ordinary full dries on, so that was an odd decision when it wasn't raining. Perhaps I think we'll throw a dice, see what we can get out of it. I don't last us. Number 9 car, which went in just as we top of the hour change, that's still suffering from an issue on its front left. They're replacing the whole front left corner and called the drivetrain. Doesn't seem to be accident damage. I can only assume it's a failure somewhere in the system. So Audi are the ones who are unraveling.
I still have a job for Nick, which I thought you were going to do for me, but you can do this one, Nick, for me if you want to do it off air and then tell me privately afterwards, that would be fine. But I'm still very annoyed that none of the Porsches have done 14 laps on a tank full of fuel, except when there's been a safety car situation. And I say annoyed, that's me being slightly mischievous about it, because I'm quite happy to accept that's the way it is. What I don't understand is whether it's a deliberate choice on behalf of Porsche to run the race like that, or whether it's something that they haven't been able to do anything about, and if not, why haven't they been able to do anything about it? Because as far as the regulations are concerned, there is enough fuel aboard that car to go 14 laps on its tank full.
The other member of our Nismo pit lane team is Joe Bradley. Let's bring him in now. Go, Joe.
Hopefully going to get a word with Nico Hülkenberg if he'll allow. Hi, Nico. How have you enjoyed that then?
A lot, to be honest.
You looked like you did. You were absolutely flat chat at one point, weren't you?
Yeah. I mean, it's just fun. It's a great track. It's a great race. Everything is really good, so the night run in particular I really enjoyed, and I like running in the darkness, So yeah, we're looking good so far, but obviously we still have quite a bit of time to go, so we'll need to keep it up.
Well, yes indeed. Everyone wants to know the physical compatibility or comparability between what you drive normally in Formula One to these cars. Are they very close?
Yeah, I think this is definitely very demanding, also because you spend more time in the car than a Formula One Grand Prix. So, you know, therefore physically but also mentally, this is quite tough and demanding. Often, especially if you have long periods behind the safety car, they can be quite tough as well. You know, with weaving and keeping temperatures in the tire makes you feel a bit sick sometimes. Or at least I had that feeling.
I suppose as well, you're not asked to drive your Formula One car with only 3 hours sleep.
Exactly, that's also a difference. You're right.
Tell us, if you can, your car has gone 14 laps on fuel, and we were expecting the car to go 15 laps on fuel. Is that something that you would know?
I'm not sure about that, to be honest.
I know, you're just the driver.
I just drive it as fast as I can in the right direction.
Also, Nico, the kind of things that you can, I suppose, fiddle with in the car, all the dials and the how does that compare to Formula One?
Yeah, it's actually very similar. You know, both cars have a lot of tools, you know, electronical tools like diff, brake balance, you know, like hers or hers settings that you can help your balance with. So in that respect, it's quite comparable.
Great to see you here, Nico. And it's something I've never normally see you smile at a Formula One meeting. You've done a lot of that this weekend.
No, that's not true. I've been smiling there too. Thank you.
Thanks, man. On the spot and in the heart of the action, the Nismo Pit Lane team. Nismo. Eat. Sleep. Race. Repeat.
Jim Roller's just nipped off for a quick cup of tea because we've got a guest in here that I'm going to jump in and do a little chat with. And welcome JJ from Spider Clothing, Senior Vice President of Everything, it says on,
seems like it,
on your card. Spider, we've seen, of course, on a number of the Porsches, particularly the Dempsey car, which is out on the circuit at the moment doing a cracking job for the team, sitting in third position with Pat Long behind the wheel at the moment. I have seen your clothing brand in the States with Audi Customer Racing and a number of other brands. What's the genesis? What's the genesis of the team? Where does the brand come from, JJ?
Well, we're 35 years old and primarily known for ski apparel. I mean, that's our roots. We've been based in Boulder, Colorado now for you know, for quite some time. Our founders are a Canadian. Oh boy, yeah, there's some action.
And that is a battle for position.
Yeah.
And Townsend Belt's gone around.
Wow.
As he tried to go around Pat Long. Well, you're the good luck charm there, because Pat Long had to really, really defend Patrick Dempsey down in the pit lane, watching the same pictures as us and trying to remain calm. But secretly, he'll be very happy that Townsend Bell, who was having a good look trying to go around the outside, the left-hand side, as they came down into the heavy braking area at the Mulsanne corner, and really that's not a place to pass. He got into the grate and the back end of the Ferrari going around. Nothing Townsend can do, does really well, powers it up so he doesn't end up in the gravel and fits in the right direction.
Nice.
And the replay of Patrick Dempsey realizing that third position, for the moment at least, in the Spider sponsored 77 Porsche with Pat Long on the driving duties at the moment, is a little bit safe. You absolutely there, lucky charm. You see, look what happens. 35 years of ski apparel, so this is very much technical clothing then.
It is, and in fact, everything we're doing for Patrick is as well, essentially, outside of, say, a cotton t-shirt. The performance comes straight down into the jackets, the polo shirts, and, you know, the guys can wear it all day, and it's working for them.
And why the move into motorsport?
You know, it's funny, in some way we've always been there. It's our founder collects vintage racers, and you know, a number of us are Porsche guys as well inside. It's all about speed and progression, and our inspiration comes from, you know, these performance machines, and there's no limits, and that's how we do it.
How's things changed in 35 years? Massively. If I think back in my limited knowledge of what we now call technical clothing, it would have been, for motorcycling or for skiing, it would have been silk underwear in the early days.
Oh yeah, the materials are funny enough, still based in natural fibers very often, and you know, like coconut fiber, for example, is what some of the GT stuff, Spider
Wow.
GT product is made out of, and it's naturally antimicrobial, and like I said, it's like working for you all the time.
I'm on the road a lot,
And the guys at Audi Customer Racing were good enough to give me a couple of polo shirts, which I now use as my travel shirt. And there's a back end to this story, which I'll come to in a moment. The great thing I find about them, I can wear them for 8 hours on a plane. I get to my hotel, I literally rinse them out in the bathroom, hang them on a hanger, and they're good to go the next morning.
Yeah, and that's the genesis of what we're doing. The Spyder G2 product is essentially all designed, you know, to throw in a duffel bag, go on the road. You take six things, and they're interchangeable. You can get dressed in the dark and still look good. You know, we always
say. Many people have said that of my fashion sense, JJ, to be honest. You know me too well.
And that's the thing. Everything Patrick's wearing right now, for example, it looks like he's wearing black jeans, but they're actually a four-way stretch. DWR, you know, black jean that's like fully technical, but it looks like you can wear it every day, and he does.
And you're based in North America?
We are. We're based in Boulder, Colorado, yeah.
Right, okay, so right in the right area for the ski wear.
We are. Great roads, though, too.
Yeah, great roads in that. But I sense an intention to broaden your horizons a little bit with the move into motorsport. Patrick's in the World Endurance Championship. There's a little bit of a coming together with us here at Radio Show Limit and RadioLeMans.com, which we'll tell the fans about in a moment. So just broadening the horizons, trying to get a bit more of a global...
Well, yeah, it's actually happened organically. Like, a lot of the motorsports guys have come to us because you don't see things that look like Spyder GT on the paddock, you know? And for us to be partnered up with Dempsey Proton and gosh, the Porsche people have been so welcoming and so awesome. It's just been a delight. But yeah, it's a natural progression because the stuff works in the car, it works on the road, and obviously it works for the teams too, so we couldn't be happier. It's perfect.
And delighted to say that there's a tie-up with our IMSA Radio product and Spyder. You're going to be supplying some clothes for the team out in the US. And there's also going to be a customer-facing side of that, which many of our fans have been asking for quite a long time. Eve will be tweeting the details of that as soon as we get it ready. And we thank you for that support. I'm really impressed with the quality. Some of the stuff that I'm wearing under motorcycle leathers particularly, I know that's not what it was designed for,
right, yeah.
But it works really well.
Yeah, it does. See, people use the stuff as a base layer too. Under leathers, I mean, geez, I wear some of the stuff under my fire suit at home even, you know, just because it's like it's
you what, you
natural
wear a fire
fiber.
Suit around the house
around
just
the,
for fun?
Yeah, no, a little Porsche Club stuff. You know, it's no big deal. But it's super versatility is the name of the game. It's performance lifestyle apparel. We were a ski brand. We are a global lifestyle apparel brand now. Spyder's like just we basically just hit the rockets.
How far can you go with the kind of technologies that we're talking about now? Where's the next big step? You say that you still work for a lot of the time in natural fibers. Is there going to be a time when somebody pours two things into a test tube and goes, oh, I've created something?
Oh, we do it all the time. I mean, I'm just referencing one example of the kind of technology that we always do. I mean, my dream is that you are someday where every single thing we have on is actually working for us. I mean, we all have our cotton t-shirts and we always will, but every other item you're wearing should be breathing, it should be antimicrobial, it should be wicking moisture away from your body, it should be functioning at all times, and that's what Spyder's been rooted in for 35 years.
And trust me, if you'd been in the studio for the last 28 hours, you would be absolutely know that
I
was
believe it.
From your lips to God's ears.
It's pretty steamy outside too.
Listen, thank you very much for the support of Motorsport. We wish you well in this new venture. Welcome to the family.
Thank you. Welcome
to the Radio Show Limited and RadioLeMans.com family as well.
It's been a pleasure, and I just want to thank Dempsey Proton Racing and Patrick Dempsey himself, of course. He's been great. We've had a fantastic week here, so thanks for having me.
And we'll see you back in the States soon. A couple of weeks' time, our sister brand, IMSA Radio, live for the whole weekend from Watkins Glen, and the 6 hours and more news about the tie-up with Spyder Clothing and RadioLeMans.com coming up in the next few days. Watch the front page and your Twitter feeds, remember, at Radio Le Mans and at RSL_studio.
At RadioLeMans.com, we live for endurance racing. Le Mans, Bathurst, the Nürburgring, Spa, Silverstone, Fuji, and many more great races on classic circuits around the world, all covered live. Now at Daytona, Sebring, Watkins Glen, Road America, and Road Atlanta to the list. IMSA Radio from the International Motorsports Association and Radio Show Limited is a new service bringing you coverage of every session of the Tudor United Sports Car Championship. Qualifying and race coverage from the Continental Tire Sports Car Challenge and the Support Series races. Live, free and without commercial interruption. Direct to you. Look for the IMSA radio icon on the RadioLeMans.com homepage. The home of endurance racing. RadioLeMans.com.
Mobile One Radio Le Mans 91.2 FM, and this race will just not settle in. This is absolutely mind-boggling. We are 2 hours, 45 and a half, 42 and a half minutes remaining, and things are still wide open in most of the classes. Trouble for the number 47 car. Nicolas Lapierre, on an outlap, has gone off the racetrack at Indianapolis. He's been pushed back and is now underway. We haven't seen any sort of... No, it wasn't at Indianapolis.
Yes, it was.
Oh, it was. Okay. We haven't seen any sort of replay to explain how he got that far off the racetrack, but it was a situation where that could throw the cat amongst the pigeons here, as now the Jota, number 38, is in second position. Before all of that, he was only a minute and 38 seconds behind, so we'll have to see how that all shakes out, Paul.
Yeah, the Jota car still has a pit stop to make, and the other one, the Sam Bird, the G-Drive car,
number 26,
yep. Has just made a pit stop, so we've kind of got a pit stop effect here. I'm not quite sure who was on duty, forgive me, but at some point during the night the KCMG car did have a grinding to a halt moment. It wasn't a spinning off moment, as it looks like this one might have been with Nicolas Lapierre at the wheel. This was a grinding to a halt problem up at the Dunlop curve, the Dunlop chicane, and it seemed to be with the kind of turn it all off and count to 10 and then turn it all on again, it worked all right again, to the extent that after that it was a 6 minute lap. I don't actually remember who was driving it at the time. I think it probably was Richard Bradley. He got it going again and was able to continue racing without even bothering to come into the pits. But it kind of put a little question mark over the car. And just coming down the straight now.
Yeah, he's again gone around without coming into the pits, as he has now gone through the first chicane on the Mulsanne straightaway. And joining me here in our Mobile One broadcast center is Owen. I've been calling you Mindledon all weekend. I sincerely apologize for
okay.
That.
It's a bit of a mouthful. Mildenhall. I think it's
Mildenhall.
Like the American Air Base.
That's right. Exactly. That's what I realized. I looked at your business card and went, oh, that's like the air base. So Owen Mildenhall is with us. And the 38 car, as Paul has promised, just making its pit stop.
And I think that's actually Mitch Evans getting out and Oliver Turvey in the car now. So they've made a driver change there as well. So it's Oliver Turvey.
Let's check in with Nick Damon, part of our Nismo pit lane team. He was Johnny on the spot.
Yeah, there's a kind of...
Or Nicky on the spot.
Oh, that's nice. There's a kind of a sense of deja vu, because this time last year they had a problem. Jota had a problem right at the start of the race, played catch up the whole time and won. This year they've had a problem right at the start of the race. They've been playing catch up, and so far they've got themselves very close into second. If Nicolas Lapierre lobs it off one more time, they'll probably get themselves into first. But certainly the atmosphere in the garage. I'm going to try and see if I can just grab a quick word with Mitch, just going out the car. Mitch, can I grab a quick word?
It's a monster stint from Mitch.
Sorry, Mitch, that was a monster stint.
Yeah, another quadruple stint. Managed to pull back a lot of time again, which is great. And obviously the 47 card a few offs, which was... played into our benefit. Hopefully, land the race, we can challenge the guys at the front. We're getting there. It's taken a while, obviously, like 20 hours to get here. But we're challenging back in contention for obviously the lead and in a strong podium position. So hopefully, Ollie can bring it home, and we'll see what happens in the rest of the race.
You've driven through many conditions in this last 3 hours. A bit of rain, a greasy, dirty track. I mean, how has it evolved during that time?
Yeah, it's obviously getting hotter as well, so the tyre deck's getting, it's increasing. To be honest, the rain didn't really affect it. It's just obviously mentally it can play with you a bit. If it was any harder, then it would have been a bit of an issue. So unfortunately, for us it probably would have helped if there was a bit more rain to spice things up, but then it just increased the risk for yourself. So I'm happy with my stint, and hopefully Ollie can have a strong one and bring it home.
Mitch, thank you very much. And if I was to have anybody in my car, I think I'd go for Ollie Turley.
Yeah, Mitch Evans managing 2 hours and 45 minutes behind the wheel. Nothing compared to what Andre Lotterer did when he turned in a 3 hours and 57 minute stint.
Remember a couple of years ago when you and I were at the Nürburgring and it was like a coming out party for Maxime Martin? He kind of put that BMW on his shoulders and dragged it back to the front through that horrible conditions. That's what kind of drive Mitch Evans has had today. This is kind of a bit of a coming out party. This is him proving that he belongs in a prototype, I think.
Yeah, and that's right. And Mitch has Le Mans history. I told you early in the week, I think, Jim, his father was here and took part in the test day here in 1985, I think it was, or 84, and then wasn't able to take part in the race. But so there is an element. I think Mitch was actually here with his father as a scruffy little 10-year-old boy, and now here he is driving. So, you know, it's a lovely story, and... I love these kind of family stories. Yeah. You know, kids who come here as a boy and then end up racing here.
And I think the other thing with Mitch as well is he's got another string to his bow, which is managed by a certain Mark Webber. So again, he's got another, another sports car in there
that
as well.
Doesn't hurt.
I think this could be the beginning of a nice long sports car career for Mitch.
We had a brief stop by the number 18 Porsche. Looked like it was routine. Nick Damon, tires, driver change.
I think that's me, Jim. It was by the time I got to it, where they were changing tyres, it looked like just a fuel stop because I didn't see them change driver, but they did change tyres. And that's an odd one, isn't it?
They can actually change the driver while they fuel the car, so
yeah,
we've been seeing that a little bit more. Romain Dumas is listed in the car. Was he in the car before the pit stop, Paul, do you recall?
Yes, Roman came in and stayed in the car.
So your policeman's eye has not failed you yet.
Hey,
you retired old bean, you.
Not bad for 400 metres. I tell you what, though, it was like watching a load of skills being pulled at a bowling alley when the mechanic ran round with the wheel and tyre and just clattered into a couple of photographers who literally went on their back.
Must have been either a puncture, Joe, because it was only that was literally Roman's first stint out, or they might have done what one of the Audis did, which was to slap some of the intermediate slicks onto the car because of the threat of wet weather. So they might have just had a stint on what was turned out to be an unsuitable tyre and then decided that was no good, no point in changing the driver, but just let's get him onto some proper slick tyres.
We're about 5 minutes away from our bottom of the hour rundown, and we'll give you a full rundown. But we've been discussing the race at the front. We've told you a little bit about how wide open it really is still in P2, with a lot of question marks hanging over that 47 car, having a Control-Alt-Delete moment, having a run off the racetrack, and how he has really got to stay focused on what's going to happen with that car, because Sam Bird and Oliver Turvey, Bird in the number 26 G-Drive Ligier and Turvey in the Jota Gibson, are right there if LaPierre makes any sort of mistake in the 47. We've got the same situation in GTE Pro, Owen, because right now the Chevrolet Corvette, number 64, and the AF Corsa Ferrari, number 51, Tony Wielander's in the Ferrari, Jordan Taylor is in the Corvette. They're separated by 8 seconds. That's in 8 seconds with 2 hours and a half to go. That's pretty close. This is wide open.
I mean, to have an 8-second gap after 22 hours of racing, and these guys have been battling like this for the entire race. You know, I've been in the pits for a lot of the night, and they were pushing like this at 3 in the morning, and it's just been a non-stop battle. And, you know, when we're lucky here looking at some pictures of Jordan Taylor's onboard, you know, you can tell from the onboard picture just how hard he's pushing.
Oh, yeah.
Then these guys really want this. You know?
We used to joke in the United States that in the GTE Pro class, you'd bungee cord all the cars together at the beginning of the race, and that's as far apart as they would get, is they would get a little bit apart, but then they'd come back in together. And by the end of the race, there would always be two or three within a second and a half of each other. It was... For a TV producer, it was great, because you always knew if things started to get boring, just go watch GT for a while, because at some point, somebody's going to make a move on somebody.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think they've, you know, as ever at Le Mans, the GT Pro class has delivered enormously great racing.
in the AM class is still Pedro Lamy. That 98 car has been on rails throughout this event, the Aston Martin. It's always tough to beat in the class. 72 Ferrari. Andrea Bertolini is in second place. And as John told you while he was talking to the folks from Spider, a near miss between the 77 and the 62. The 71 Ferrari has made a call to the pits, and Joe Bradley of our Nismo pit lane team is there.
Yeah, and it's not just looking like a scheduled one, because the car has been jacked and swiveled and is now in the pit garage, and they're looking at the rear of the car. The engine cover is off, mid-engine car, remember this one. And so a problem for the 71 Ferrari, and that was well up the field in the GTE Pro class, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. It was. It came in out of third position, as a matter of fact. So that hopefully will open the door for Sorensen in the number 95 Aston Martin. Out on the racetrack, though, that battle that got the great reaction from Patrick Dempsey when Townsend Bell lost control in the Mulsanne corner has rejoined. Bell has caught Patrick Long, and they are nose to tail heading up the hill towards the Dunlop Bridge.
That's very odd, because that was quite a long way for Townsend to have to catch up again, which suggests that, and Patrick Long's not a slow driver, so it suggests that maybe there's a bit of a problem on that Porsche, which Pat Long is having to carry. But, I mean, you're absolutely right, Jim, but the Ferrari has really caught the Porsche quickly there, hasn't it?
Now, one of the things I was going to ask you, Paul, is whether these two guys have got enough drive time left to go right to the end, or whether we're going to have to see driver changes with these two cars before the end.
Find that out, and we'll probably do that after the update at the bottom of the hour, because it'll just take me a couple of minutes to get down to that far part of the screen.
I'm sure the 77 is going to want to try and leave Patrick Long in there if he can. I'm not sure about the 62, though. So that'll be interesting. We'll get that from Paul after the bottom of the hour update, as he says, as these two go nose to tail. Let's check in quickly again with Joe Bradley. Update on that 71 Ferrari.
Yeah, all I've seen them do is tighten up the bolts and the watsits and the nuts on the right rear upright, which is where the rear damper will attach to, and also the it obviously carries the hub with the brake disc. So they've just tightened things on the rear end, so maybe the driver reported a bit of a vibration or the like, which figures, because pretty much the whole car's been shook and rattled and stood on, if that makes sense, just to see if there's anything loose which would give the driver a vibration. So just on what I can see, it's probably been that kind of inquiry, a bit of a vibration.
Well, let's see if Townsend Bell learned his lesson the last time he was this close to Patrick Long heading down into Mulsanne. It doesn't look like it, as he tries a quick look on the outside. Yes, he did. He was a little bit further back this time, Owen, but he did look around the outside, and Long kind of let his car drift a little bit. I wouldn't say it was a block, but he sure was using the middle of the road, and Townsend Bell fell back into line. They are now nose to tail as they have gone through Mulsanne and now are heading towards the run towards the long straightaway. Really now the fastest part of the racetrack, the run from Mulsanne Corner to Indianapolis. They go under the Toyota Hybrid Bridge and will carry on now as Bell looks again to the outside as they make the right-hand corner, which is flat into Indianapolis. And now they make the left through Indianapolis, Long using all the road out to the curb, and now Bell tucks right in behind. He looks again to the outside, but Patrick Long is there as they make the right-hand turn at Arnage and will now head towards the Porsche curves. We'll see who holds the advantage there. That's going to be a really tough spot for Bell to make a move, because these GT cars are flat out through that section of the racetrack.
Absolutely right, Jim. Both of them will have to change drivers before the end of the race, though, just to sort that one out. So
great.
We're going to have driver change pit stops for the pair of them before the end.
And I think, looking, there's definitely no question the Ferrari's got a straight line advantage over the Porsche, but Patrick Long's a real pro, and you can tell he's being very clever where he positions the car. It's not dirty, he's not weaving,
right,
but he's just positioning the car very cleverly.
He's not blocking, but he's made that Porsche really pudgy. And now one of the Audis goes through that mix, and it breaks that battle up, as often is the case, as we get a great shot of poor Patrick Dempsey, who's that gum is going to be well and truly worn out by the time he gets done with the next 2.5 hours as they go through the Porsche curves. And indeed, here comes Townsend Bell into the pits. So it will be interesting to see who gets in or not. Paul, is this about on time?
Yep, that's a scheduled stop for the Ferrari.
So let's go to our Nismo pit lane and Joe Bradley for the number 62 stop.
Yeah, I questioned whether the 62 Ferrari was pitting on schedule because I'm on the pit wall over the shoulder of their team engineers, and he's been called in. They're not doing anything. This is a kind of, this is a penalty. It's a 15-second stop-and-go penalty is what I'm being told. That's why the team short-lived. There was a waving of hands and a shaking of heads. Now, and that's a shame because that's broke up that beautiful battle there between the Porsche and the Ferrari.
That is a really tough break because if he is indeed due a pit stop, that means he's going to have to go make another lap and come back in to make the pit stop.
Yeah, he'd done 10 laps on his stint. Now, the previous stint round, he did 12, did Townsend Bell. So,
And the penalty was for speeding on pit road, so it had to be from the previous pit stop.
Yeah, they quite often take a while to assess them because there's so many various reports coming in from marshals. Some of them get actioned into penalties. Some of them get regarded as no further action, but they all need to be investigated. So... I've had a little bit to do with this kind of stuff that goes on at race control. There's very little time. You may think you see pictures of these race control people just sitting quietly, calmly, watching monitors. Most of the time they're chasing up various protests and discussing with various people.
And we've got 2.5 hours remaining in this 83rd running of the 24 Hours of Le Mans. Mobile One, 91.2 FM, Radio Le Mans for 2015.